The leader of the WA Nationals and architect of the Royalties for Region idea is Brendan Grylls. He joined me from our Karratha studios. Brendan Grylls, thank you very much for talking to AM.
Great you joined the program from Karratha.
Was the Royalties for Regions money well spent?
Absolutely. I 100% defend every single dollar we've spent. Some of the commentary from the Vox Pop that you did in Port Hedland would suggest that maybe Port Hedland shouldn't have a sports stadium and shouldn't have a swimming pool. I absolutely categorically reject that. If we are to have modern sustainable cities in the northwest of Western Australia, you need to have the same infrastructure that people in the south of Western Australia would take for granted. We've been able to achieve that with Royalties for Regions.
Mr. Grylls, I think what they're arguing is that the sustaining costs, the cost of actually keeping those facilities up to standard, hasn't been factored in.
It was factored in. It was factored in by the local governments when they undertook the projects. They are still...
We specifically heard there from people like Arnold Carter that it wasn't.
The local governments factored that in. That was part of the business case that they provided to the government. And again, I just say to you that if you go to Geraldton or Albany or Kalgoorlie, similar towns of similar size in regional Western Australia, they all have the type of infrastructure we've finally been able to deliver in the north.
Do you have regrets about spending $1.7 billion on Pilbara cities, given so many of the houses and offices built are now empty?
I question the validity of that take. The Osprey Village...
We just heard in Eliza's report that the Osprey Village, 50% of those houses are empty, and lease signs are all over the Pelago buildings in Karratha.
The Osprey Village in Port Hedland was built to house service worker accommodation. When rents made it to $3,000 a week, the small business sector, the people that weren't involved in mining were absolutely smashed. Back in 2012 and 2013, we made the decision as a government to invest in housing to try and solve that huge problem. I mean, you talk in the eastern states about housing crises. No one in Sydney in fairly standard type housing has ever had to pay $3,000 a week.
You've proposed a new mining tax policy. Was the policy designed to create a point of difference between the Nationals and One Nation?
No, the policy was designed that every single mum and dad, small business and pensioner in Western Australia pays an increase in fees and charges every time the government does a budget round. It would seem strange that the two biggest companies in Australia would have a rental fee struck at 25 cents in the 1960s. The rental fee was for allowing the government to recoup some of the investment it makes in facilitating the mining expansion. The West Australian government has invested in 500,000 extra people coming to WA to underpin the expansion of the mining sector. The iron ore industry has doubled in volume. They have export records out of the Pilbara ports every month now. The West Australian government collects that 25 cents. It's never been updated. It's never been indexed. I think it's fair that the two biggest companies in Western Australia should pay updated fees and charges just like every other taxpayer, mum and dad and small business in WA.
Miners have told me that that's specifically what you told them at a meeting last September, that this policy was all about differentiating yourself from One Nation.
Well, the miners are yet to tell the truth in any of their TV advertising. They don't tell the truth to any of the people of Western Australia. I wouldn't expect they'd be telling the truth to the media when they talk to you.
You're accusing them of lying.
I never said that.
Well, you just said that they're not telling the truth. So if they're not telling the truth, is that not a lie?
The mining companies are not telling the truth in their advertising about the job losses. If you read the Deloitte report that they commissioned, number one, Deloitte's have a big disclaimer at the front saying, don't quote this in public. The miners have ignored that. What they've said is that no current jobs are at risk. They've said that if BHP and Rio choose to never invest in Western Australia again, maybe jobs could be at risk, but I find that completely fanciful. In an iron ore sector at the moment, the margin Saba is $60 a tonne, the spot price is 90. I don't think the mining sector will be going anywhere.
What about Professor John Freeband's point from the University of Melbourne that most of the money would flow back to the eastern states? What's the point then from the Western Australian perspective?
That was a big point. $7.2 billion of new
revenue. But if it's flowing east, what's the point?
Well, Mr. Freeband, did he tell you that it raises $7.2 billion for the West Australian bottom line over the next 4 years?
And you don't mind if most of it goes east?
Or did Mr. Freeband tell you it raises $7.2 billion? There's a lot of convenient ignorance to the facts. The miners are now cheering for the unfair GST share in Western Australia. The Prime Minister has promised to put a floor in place. As Mr. Freeburn said, there's a lot of different issues that make up the GST share. What I know, in the next 4 years, based on West Australian Treasury modelling, this proposal raises $7.2 billion. Malcolm Turnbull has promised to put a floor into the GST. We'll be holding him to that promise. There's another federal election in 2019 that if Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten have not come up with a fairer GST share, as has been promised by everyone, by 2019, they will both find that their votes drop dramatically in Western Australia because WA's had enough. But my policy raises $7.2 billion across the next 4 years.
You've made that point. Given all the money the miners have been spending attacking you and the wild card that is One Nation, how do you actually rate your chances on Saturday, given that many people are saying that the Nationals will be a spent force?
Well, we'll see on Saturday. I'm very confident in my policy position. I'm confident of holding the seat of Pilbara, and I'm confident the Nationals' vote will go up. In an election where the Liberal vote looks like it's going down quite substantially, the Nationals' vote will be stronger in 2017 than it was in 2013.
If you lose your seat, will you have a tilt at federal politics as you've mused about in the past?
I'm not planning on losing my seat, Barbara.
Will Colin Barnett be the Premier this Sunday?
Well, that'll be up to the voters.
If Christian Porter had been the Premier, if he'd stayed in WA politics, would he be Premier now?
Well, Christian Porter went across to Canberra. I was close to Christian. He promised to get a better deal for the GST. He said the GST share was smashing the West Australian economy. $4.7 billion, I think it was raised by West Australians in GST last year and is given to the other states. I think that's unfair. They will find the voters waiting with baseball bats at the 2019 election if they can't come good on their promise.
Mr. Grills, thanks for talking to AM.
Thanks, Barbara.
WA Nationals leader Brendan Grills.